You're listening to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews. Stay with us. We got Alan Johnson coming up. Welcome back to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews, WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz. On the line, we have Alan Johnson, who's just written an incredible memoir, Not From Here. He's a renowned sociologist and author, and he asked his dying father where he wanted his ashes to be placed, and his father replied without hesitation that it made no difference to him at all. Alan Johnson, how are you?
I'm fine, Marcia. How are you?
I'm great. This is a very interesting book. And my question to you, my first question was, when he said it made no difference to him at all, why didn't you say why not?
That is the question of my life, I think, why I didn't ask for more information. I think I didn't ask him because it didn't strike me as odd at that moment. And this was a man who spoke multiple languages. He traveled all over the world. He'd lived in different countries. And I think I saw him as being, I located him in my mind in so many different places that it didn't strike me as peculiar that he might say that he didn't care. And, of course, at the time, it didn't really create a problem for me. It was just a question and an answer. It was only later on that it became a problem.
But I think also when I read that, I felt the same way, though. You know, if you are part of the universe, does it really matter when at the end of your time here, whether or not there's a specific place, or do you just become all of the atmosphere?
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it, and there are a lot of people who view it that way, and sometimes I wish I could view it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what happened to me was that as years went by and I still had his ashes and felt compelled to do something with them, something meaningful, I then realized that I had no idea what to do with them.
But hold on a minute. How many years did you have his ashes?
I think it was about 3 years.
Really?
It was a long time.
That's a long time. Where did you keep the ashes?
In our house, in a little plastic box in which they came from the crematorium.
Where in your house?
Downstairs where I do my writing.
In your study, in your special place.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Was it obvious? Was it placed in a place where you could actually see?
No, I think it was... For the most part, it was out of mind. I don't remember exactly when it came to me. You know, you're going to have to do something with these ashes.
Right. So I want to kind of, I know we want to go forward with this, but I also am curious about your relationship with your father.
Anything in particular about my relationship?
Well, just, I think the fact that you have these ashes, you had unknown questions. Were there unresolved issues with your father?
I don't think there were. He and I had a mixed relationship for most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he died, we had long ago, I think, taken care of that old business.
So that was resolved.
Yes, I don't think I was pushing him aside and not wanting him to pay attention to the issue of what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took on his ambivalence, that he said it didn't matter. And my brother and sister and I, we each took a third of his ashes.
Wow. What did they do?
Mine was the last third. My brother eventually spread them in a wooded area in Western Canada, which is where he lives. And my father and my stepmother had lived in Western Canada when he was was representing the U.S. government in Calgary. And so they scattered them someplace where they knew my father enjoyed being.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's share got spread on our property here, had a ceremony of a small gathering of family, and they were spread here, and I spread them here because I didn't know what else to do with them at that time, and it felt like a good thing to do at that time. But as I look back on it, I realize that his ashes didn't belong here on this land that I happen now to live on with my wife. I could have, in a sense, I could have put them almost anywhere. And that's what came up for me when I started thinking about, well, what am I going to do with these now? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the reason is, but at that point in my life, I felt the need to do something meaningful with them,
mm-hmm.
not just get rid of them somewhere. And, of course, then it very quickly raised for me the question of where do I belong?
Right.
You know, when I die, what do I want to have done with my remains? Mm-hmm. And I realized I had no better answer to that mm-hmm. question than he did.
Because that's a deep question, you know? Really.
I think it's a very deep
question. You know what I'm saying? That you can tell I'm out of the 60s and 70s. You know, everything was deep back then. But it is so deep. It goes into the recesses of your mind and your heart and your spirit. You're like, okay, well, how do I even dig that up? What is it?
Exactly.
Right?
And the thing is, if my father had just said, well, go put them, you know, and it named a place, I would have gone and done that. And this never would have happened to me.
But this took you on a real journey, though.
Oh, yeah, almost 2,000 miles. I basically retraced a portion of my father's younger life and then going back into his ancestry. So I started off in South Dakota where he went to high school, and then I worked my way back through Minnesota. I actually started in Minnesota, went out to South Dakota, then came back to Minnesota to the town where he was born. And then I went down to Iowa, where his father was born and where my great-grandparents settled as farmers after they emigrated from Norway. So I was retracing what I knew of his roots
mm-hmm.
in the United States and going back beyond his birth to his grandparents, trying to find some piece of land where I felt in my heart that he belonged. But also realizing that I wanted that to be a place where I might belong, because it didn't make any sense to me that my father would belong someplace that I did not.
Right. But here's a question for you. You went deeper, again, we're going to use that word, because you dug deep into that whole ancestry, and it took you to a place that was so painful about who you are, mm-hmm. your ancestors, and who we are as a nation.
Yes.
And it from this bag, your whole world changed.
Well, it changed in the sense that as a sociologist, I've known the history of this country for a long time,
right.
in terms of African Americans, in terms of Native Americans. But as I took this journey, and I have to stress that this was 10 days and almost 2,000 miles, just me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in solitude the whole time, virtually. I was in silence almost the whole time. And what I realized as I was crossing this land in the upper Midwest was that land has stories.
Right.
And in my silence and my solitude, what I knew on a large scale about the story of this country
mm-hmm.
started getting woven together with my own story,
right.
my father's story, my grandparents, you know, all of my ancestors, their personal stories, I realized are woven into this larger story, that it's not just in the past, it's not just history,
mm.
that, of course, all of this is continuing to play out today. I think,
and it's interconnected.
And it's all interconnected. So that for example, my great-grandparents who settled in this little town in Iowa along with a whole bunch of other Norwegian immigrants, they went in and bought some land.
Right.
That land was available to them only because of what had done to the Native Americans.
No question.
Who had lived on that land for
no question.
Thousands of years.
Centuries, right.
Yes, and so that connection became very palpable for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew where I was, and
mm-hmm.
so when I walked on that land, about which I had strong feelings, because this was, you know, this was where my great grandparents were buried.
Mm-hmm.
So I had strong feelings about that land. At the same time, there's all this history that cannot be separated from it. And I think, Marcia, what I discovered, not just intellectually as a sociologist, but in my body,
mm-hmm.
by being on the
mm-hmm.
land that contains
spiritually
these stories. spiritually, right. I felt the interconnection of all of these stories, all these different layers, in a way that I never had before.
And you know what? I think that's interesting because you have to really be open to the universe to get that type of feeling. And for you to be able to absorb those spirits and to absorb that history mixed with the intelligence and the emotion and that spirituality to bring it all together and accumulate it in one place is powerful.
It was for me.
Right. It's powerful to me. It was powerful to read.
It was many different parts of me coming together in one place.
Did you feel, well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think what it brings out is, was there a sense of completion or connectivity to yourself? Had there been this disconnection, unknown or unknown, that you felt whole when you were walking on those lands?
That's a really interesting question, because my answer, I think, would be it was both. Mm. That on the one hand, I felt my not belonging most vividly when I was at the farthest western point of my trip. I was in western South Dakota, and the national grasslands are there. And this is, try to picture, you know, looking out on the ocean. So it's just ocean as far as you can see, and it's rolling ocean, except it's all grass.
Wow.
For as far
that
as
sounds
you
beautiful.
See, it's extraordinary, and it's enormous. And above you is this enormous sky, and I'm standing there all by myself. And the feeling that I get is how enormous this is, in which I feel my not belonging. I feel small. I want to go home. That's the feeling. But then what came to me, Marcia, was that any number of indigenous peoples, Native Americans, will stand in that same spot and look out at that land and see themselves reflected back to them. Because they do belong to that land.
And see that reflection and see the loss.
Well, and they would feel the loss of that. And so I felt my own kind of loss.
Right.
Because I realized that was the feeling that most people in the world actually have access to, because most people in the world are living in the land of their people and where they're from. So on the one hand, I felt a tremendous sense of loss. And at the same time, and this comes mostly with coming back home again and then the time since then, I also have a sense of being in reality in a way that I wasn't before.
A sense of reality.
Yes. And, you know, any loss, a terrible loss is a terrible loss.
It is.
There's nothing that makes it not terrible. At the same time, the only thing that makes it more terrible is to live in denial of it, is to try to pretend that it doesn't exist. And so I think the gift that I received from this journey was that I came into possession in my awareness of a terrible loss that is not just mine. This whole country for generations has inherited this loss. But at the same time, if I now feel a sense of completion and comfort, it is a sense of coming into the reality of the story that my life is a part. Without denial, without trying to make it go away because it's painful, but sitting with the reality of it is much better than denial.
Well, and you know, I think that we all have this sense of want of knowing, to get that genealogy and understand the impact of every movement of all of our ancestors and their interconnectivity to one another and the disconnection that they created with one another. So there's this movement in and out of the reality of our history and the reality of who we are as a people, and you don't discuss that. There are problems with one of the programs that they were trying to deal with, one of the movie stars who did not want his story to be told because he found out that his ancestors were slaveholders. And so that reality was bigger than him. And so, you know, here's the beauty, though. The beauty is that it's bigger than you because you're a human being.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so the depth of your humanness, your humanity is bigger than the lump sum of one of that act by your relative.
Yes. And the challenge that I face as an individual and that I think that we face as a nation is to make ourselves large enough,
right,
so that we can contain all of it.
Mm-hmm. And contain it, manage it, speak on it, and then respect it and live it differently.
And I would add to that, which comes to the living with it differently, is to engage with it.
Yes, yes. You can't run from it.
What forced me, what I was forced to do out there, because it was just me, mm-hmm. After a while, I had no choice but to engage with this.
Well, see, it sounds like what you have to do with this engagement, you're going to have to be the sociologist that takes tons of people on this journey of recovery and acceptance. I think that would be powerful. And we're not going to tell all the end of the story, but tell us how we can get this book.
Pretty much anywhere you get books.
What do you say, pretty much anywhere? Just pick up books.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can order it from any bookstore. You can get it on Amazon or at barnesandnoble.com, and it's a trade book that's out there, and you can anywhere you can get any other book, you can get this one.
Alan Johnson, thank you. This is a powerful book, and it had me doing some soul searching too.
Thank you very much, Marcia.
And I appreciate it. Alan Johnson, Not From Here. You all need to pick this book up. I think it will really make you sit down and think. Think about who you are individually. Think about who we are collectively. And it's a powerful thing. Thank you.
Thank you.